On the line now, Fintan Lawler from Lawler Partners. Good morning to you, Fintan. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. How's it for me? Well,
not too bad at all. Listen, a few queries for you, so I'll get it through. The first one's rather quick. It was about a guy was sent in and just said, well, look, it was only him and his wife. They have everything in a joint account. So if anything happened to him, would she not automatically get everything, and why would he make a will?
She would automatically get everything because it passes by survivorship, which is kind of where it's jointly held assets.
Mm-hmm.
So as you say, if they have a joint account, it goes directly to her. However, in the event that she predeceases him, then who is going to get it? Obviously, her interest will pass to him as the surviving person in relation to a joint account. So in that circumstance, if something happens to him, what's going to happen to the proceeds of the account? What's going to happen to the estate? Where is the estate going to go? If he doesn't have a will, it'll go under rules of intestacy. So that'll be one reason to have a will. The second reason to have a will is that it may be possible that he has other stuff not in his joint account or jointly held with her that he might like to administer. So let's just say he has a car.
Yes.
The car hasn't been dealt with if he hasn't got a will, because we don't know who he wants the car to go to or what he wants to happen to the car. So very often all of the assets won't be jointly held. So
okay.
You might have a joint account, or you might have a joint hold of property jointly. But it's possible that he might have other stuff, prize bonds, shares, maybe a post office account or a credit union account in his own name that's not jointly held. So you should look at a will for that eventuality as well. And then, as I say, if she happens to predecease him, he could also do it a will for that reason.
Okay, and another one that came in as well is that someone made a will in the 70s, just pretty straightforward will. Is that still viable today? And I mean, because they have to be so specific today on all your assets, but this is just a plain written will, the guy said.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's a valid will, and there are certain rules, Noel, in relation to what requirements you need for a valid will, such as you need two witnesses, such as you need to be over 18 years of age, such as you need to be corpus mentis, such as you need to have the two witnesses sign at the same time as you're witnessing. So the two witnesses have to witness you signing the will. So it's no good for somebody to sign a will and then go into the next door neighbour and say, hey, listen, I signed that, any chance you'd witness it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they witness it, and then you go into the other next door neighbour and say, hi, listen, would you mind witnessing this, because I signed it and Billy next door witnessed it. You know, they have to see you signing the will so they know that you are the person who is signing your name to that piece of paper.
Yeah.
They don't have to see the contents of the will, but they do have to see you witnessing the will. So if it was a valid will, whenever he created it, it's still valid. It hasn't become invalid. The only difference is that the tax regime has changed quite a lot, and it's changed on an ongoing basis, so it changes every 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in those circumstances, I explained this I think before, Noel, that a number of years ago the threshold for a parent to child was €450,000. So if you picture a scene where that we have a parent and we have a child and we have a house, and the house was worth, we'll call it €400,000.
Mm-hmm.
In that circumstances where there is a threshold of 450, there's no tax applicable,
mm-hmm.
no inheritance tax payable. And somebody might have made a will at that time and saying, I'm going to make a will and give everything to my son and there's no tax payable. I'm delighted with that. Now, little do they know, I'm sorry, the tax rate at that time was 20%. But they may be unaware that two things have changed. First of all, the threshold has come down. So the threshold now is no longer 450, it's now €310,000 that a child is exempt on before mm-hmm. they pay tax. So it's 310,000 exemption after that tax paid. On top of that, the tax has gone from 20% to 33%.
Okay.
So it's a double whammy. So now a person has made a will thinking that their child is not going to pay any tax because the threshold is €450,000, when in fact they don't realise that the threshold has dropped to 390, and I think we put the value of the house on this hypothetical case at 400. Mm. So that's a 90 grand liability, and the tax rate is 33%. So they're going to lose the guts of €30,000
mm-hmm.
out of that will to the revenue commissioners. But the person who's made that will thinks that they've been smart and they've made a tax efficient will. So it's really for that reason you need to continue to review it on an ongoing basis. And then circumstances do change in life, Noel, as you know.
Indeed.
Children, in-laws, outlaws, separation, divorces, grandchildren.
Yeah, I think
no
it's
grandchildren.
Yeah, I think like the first guy that asked that question that I asked about the bank. I mean it's gravy of crystal ball, and you know you're going to die first and all like that. But as you say, anything can happen, as we all know.
Yeah, well, that's why we'd recommend that
things.
People do a will
yeah.
now, and they change it every 2 or 3 years, or certainly review it. You might not. need to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have a look and say, would it change anything about that? Or would it do anything differently? And like that, you might have a neighbour who's very good, and very people very often forget these people in a will. And they come in to me and say, yeah, I'm dividing estate between my three children in equal shares. And I said, that's okay, there's no problem there, well done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but is there anybody else maybe that you might maybe want to leave a few bob to, just for a holiday or a cruise? Or is there anybody who takes out the bins when you're away on holidays or looks after the dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there's a fella 2 doors down. He's very good to me. He does all the handy jobs around the house and he's really very decent. I said, well, would you not think of maybe leaving him a few bob?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It's more an acknowledgement that you do appreciate the kindness and the gesture and the helping hand that somebody has given you over the years. And you're leaving them €2,000 to go on a cruise or to have a holiday or to do whatever. Maybe
just sit down and I suppose consider and think things out, as you say, every so often. And when you're looking at your will, just think if there's any changes you want to make. I'm going to put one more to you before I let you go, because I know you're very, very busy, and I'll hold off the rest till I'm talking to you again. And this is a short one, I think. My home has no mortgage, and if I sell it in order to purchase somewhere smaller, am I liable to be taxed on the remainder of the proceeds?
No, you're not liable to be taxed on the sale of your family home.
Okay.
You are liable to be taxed if it's not your family home. So let's just say that somebody bought their family home and that's fine, and then they decided maybe that they'd like to buy an investment property, so they bought either an apartment that they could rent out, or they bought a second house, or they bought a holiday home. That's not considered their principal private residence. So when they sell that property, there is a possibility that there will be liable to capital gains tax.
So just to clarify that, Fintan, anyone, you know the way a lot of people are advising older people, maybe you should downsize and put more houses on the market because there's only two of you left. So if you have a couple that have a three-bedroom house and they say, well, we're going to go for a one-bedroom cottage somewhere, and they sell their house for maybe 300,000 and buy the cottage, for argument's sake, for 150 for half, and they're left with 150. They don't pay tax on that, do they not?
No, if it's their principal private residence, they're exempt from tax. But if it's not their principal private residence, they could get caught with capital gains tax.
Okay.
And what capital gains tax is if you buy something, and we just say we pick an apartment that you buy at €100,000, and you hold on to it for 10 years, and you sell that apartment for €300,000,
mm-hmm.
The Revenue Commissioner will say, well, you purchased it at 100 and now you sold it at 300, you've made a gain there of €200,000.
Uh-huh.
So we would like a slice of that at 33%. Now, there are certain monies you can take off that, such as your legal fees and your auctioneer fees and your maintenance costs. And it is indexed up. They won't do a straight swap on 100 to 300. They'll index it with the consumer price index.
Okay.
But there could be a gain there and there could be a wallop there. So you just have to be careful in relation to that.
Okay,
but
just
where the principal home is concerned, are okay.
Okay, well, just as always, if you have any doubts at all, just go to your solicitor. And as we always say here, they have the law office here in the Civic Centre, Bunratty Road here as well. And your website, Fintan?
Yeah, it's www.lawlawpartners.ie.
Listen, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. I know you're Russian and you're very, very busy, but thank you for coming on. And I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks very much, Fintan. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.